Commit ourselves unto you at this moment for this little address we have for the people, Lord, sort of preparatory for another message. Help us, Lord God, to honor this great day of your resurrection thereby in a way perhaps we have not understood and honored before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this part of the service I might entitle The Quickening Power of the End Time. The Quickening Power of the End Time. And this morning is one to do, that is this morning's message that I'm going to bring you later. It has to do with the end time. We're in the evening time ripening sun and the evening time ripening rain are bringing forth into full manifestation or maturity a harvest. And from this harvest into a final disposition, of course, at the white throne of both the holy and unholy people who are typed as wheat and tares. Now, which mic is sort of giving me a bad time? Put this away? We all right? Because it's kind of hissing up here. Well, I'm still doing it. Is that my teeth or that the equipment? Never had that trouble before. All right. Now, we said here that the message I'm going to be dealing with has to do with the end time, wherein the evening time ripening sun and the evening time ripening rain are bringing forth into full manifestation or maturity a harvest, and from this harvest into a final disposition at the white throne. Now, you heard what I'm saying, so put it together. At the white throne, both the holy and unholy people who are typed are called wheat and tares. And this ripening rain and sun of the evening time is the quickening power, or has within it the quickening power of the end time, as set forth in Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, and 1 Corinthians 15, which we will read in a minute. Now it says here, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And Brother Branham categorically says that is this, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in, just the same as Gabriel, Daniel 8:16, came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep spiritual secrets. So this is a special visitation of the Holy Spirit himself, as it was in the days of Paul, to William Branham, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now this is known as the former rain or the teaching rain. Watch the results. Watch what it's going to do. It's going to quicken. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now that's to the bride. Now remember, this is concerning his presence, and this is the putting under all things, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and see something there that's going to be a little bit different, but actually is saying the very same thing. All right, we'll look at verse 20, I suppose, about where we will start, somewhere in that area. All right, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now that's actually resurrection body. He's up there on the Father's throne at this time, for since the seals have been ripped off, he climbed on the Father's throne. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, or from amongst the dead in our case. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Now this was written after the first part of the first resurrection. The Old Testament saints are resurrected. They are somewhere. Praise the Lord for that. Gives us great courage. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now it tells you in this presence these things are going on. Authority and power are being put down. Now watch what he's saying. For he must reign till all he put all enemies under his feet. Right? And the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Now what you're seeing here is the same thing doing two different things. Right? Huh?
Yes.
You're looking at me kind of blank. And so I want you to get this. Are you his enemy? Who's his enemy this morning? Let me see your hand. Nobody? This is not for you then. He's here, but he's not doing this to you.
Amen.
What's he doing to you? Ephesians, right?
Amen.
Are you still drawing blanks? Oh, this is Easter morning. Come on, let's rise with Christ. I don't need your shouting. I just want to see your faces. I'm looking at your faces, and I got enough light, and I want to see it dawn on you. Surely by now you understand what is going on.
Amen.
Maybe some preachers don't know what's going on. Maybe some congregations. But I pride myself in this respect and all humility before God. He has shown me what's going on, and I've shown you, and you know what's going on.
Amen.
So there's something going on. Quickening power.
Amen.
Quickening power is going on, and things are happening. We are not unaware, the Apostle Paul says. All right. Okay. John the Baptist spoke of this, what we are seeing today, in Matthew, the 3rd chapter. And we're in for a nice long session today, so tell the Holiday Inn to wait our dinners for us. All right. I might not get to sermon number 2 if I don't. It's all right. All right. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. That's a lot of folk work. In verse 7, when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Hey, you bunch of dirty birds, who told you to come out of Babylon? Who's going to get hit with the 4x4? Babylon. Who told you dirty birds to come out of Babylon? Well, you got out here, so you better bring forth fruit meet for repentance. What's fruit? Word. Word. What'd they say?
Word.
Did I say right? Well, I believe you said right if I didn't. But Brother Brown said that was what? Matthew 7, right? What's repentance? Change of mind? Or is repentance a feeling you get? I always like to blast that. I won't do it this morning. I'll be nice and sweet this morning. Honey, bring me the molasses for my cherry pie. And think not to say within yourselves, I'm Baptist Presbyterian. No. We have Abraham to our father. Why, Luther, I believe in him. Wesley, I believe in him. And I'm going to tell you something. I got a lot of, you know, ancestors. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of your trees. Your denomination of dogmas and creeds. Well, come on, isn't that what he said? Bring forth fruit. And you're in a tree to bring forth fruit. And this is the first fruit at the end time, right? The highest they've come to. They're going to chop you down, boy. They're going to chop your organization down.
All
right. You're getting chopped down, get out of my way. Because you're going to get chopped down anyway. Let's keep reading. Axe is laid to the root of the trees, leaving neither root nor branch. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every tenet, every doctrine, laying aside every precept that has a contamination, except the last message has no contamination, nor ever will. Hebrews 6, keep with me. All right, throw in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Correctly he did so, but watch. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He'll gather his wheat into the garnerer, and he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Two things going on at one time. The preparation of the bride and the preparation of the non-bride. The preparation of the true fruit, the preparation of the bad fruit. The true fruit has the true word, the bad fruit has the bad word. It's just that simple, right? Who says this message is hard? And I'm a Philadelphia lawyer and have to teach preachers that little nice folk like you people. Somebody blew it. Try getting answers from you. And I don't think anybody's here a theologian. I'm not for sure. I've been called one, but I've been called even worse than that. All right. Jesus fulfilled Matthew 3 and 11 at the alpha announcement of Elijah number 3. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the man who said that says, I'm not worthy to even talk about him, let alone be near him, but he said, I'm going to tell you what he's all about. All right, then. Matthew 3:11 was the alpha announcement by Elijah number 3. And Jesus must now fulfill Matthew 3:12 as the Omega announcement of the Elijah number 4. Because the fire comes in Malachi 4. Amen. Not in Malachi 3. Right. This can be seen in Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 2, with which we're very familiar. We've read them many times. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison and the bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Alpha, Omega, and the day of the vengeance of our God, yet to comfort those that mourn. And you will notice the emphasis is put upon the negative, because that's what's going to get it as to maximum of extension or magnitude. The bride in turn will receive the maximum in a little parcel because she's a small group. And the big thing is, you'll notice here, you are to get your eyes on the vengeance. That's the big thing. Every place in Scripture now, you're going to hear vengeance and fire, vengeance and fire, vengeance and fire. But remember, there never was a Mount Abel, which is evil, without Mount Gerizim, which is blessing. You can never read anything that is negative without knowing there is a positive. That is in nature. That's the way God made it. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat into the garner, burn up the chaff. All right, that is then the Omega. And this, of course, lines perfectly with Acts, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 19, in the middle of it, where Peter is saying, when times of refreshing, when a great healing revival is going to come from God. And remember, the prophet said there is no such thing as a genuine healing revival unless there's an entirely new message. So any Pentecostal sitting here, I don't want to hurt you, but you done killed yourself without me saying it. If you don't get rid of all of your Pentecostalism, saying, I came out of Pentecost, but you've got Pentecost in you, you're still doomed. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I'm not a nasty preacher. A hard hitter, so I'm going to tell you something. This applies to me. I'm not trying to apply it to you. Say, well, I'm going to stand here and just tell you something. The hardest thing I had in my life was to get Pentecost out of me. That's the hardest thing you've got, is get the Baptist out of you, the Methodist out of you, the Amish out of you, the Mennonite out of you. The Presbyterian. You ain't got too much to get out of you, kid, but get it out of you anyway. You shouldn't say that. I am an old Presbyterian. My mother was the same religion that Joe Raskevich was. Reformed Church. Right. died in the Lowell Presbyterian. I mean died, D-I-E-D. Not so much D-Y-E-D. Dead in the Lowell Presbyterian. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay? No, that's not crucial. All right, though. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed or proclaimed in advance unto you, whom the heavens must still keep back until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began has taken place. Now, what does that mean? Now, listen, you get the tapes, I don't know, it's okay by me. But if you're following my ministry in my own church, you would hear me bring this up many times. What is a prophet all about? Not miracles, not prophesying. No, the Word. And God puts his Word in those people's mouths. Then all right, at the end time, somebody's got to rise up with the Word of God in his mouth. Not just a word, but the entire word of that season. For this time, after that revival. No, come on, I'm not lying here. I got my chronology right, brother, sister. You know something? I'm preaching today relaxed, knowing the white throne is here now, and I'm going to prove it to you before the day's over. Takes old Jack Bell to get what I want. All I got to do is say something. He comes right behind me and nails it down with coat after coat. Nice throne, Jack. Love you. I'll just keep you right around me, kid. It gets me out of trouble because I shoot my mouth off. I'll say, here's what the prophet said, and this is it. And I think, oh boy, did he really mean it, you know? Right, did he really mean the sense that this is not an isolated quote, that this is something that fits in with all it? Old Jack picks it right up and he tells me, hey, did you? He said this. So thank you, Brother Bell. Stick around. Okay, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the prophet shall your Lord your God raise up and like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things, where he said, it'll come to pass that every soul that'll not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now that word is utterly destroyed, which comes only under Malachi, right. The fourth chapter, does not come under the third chapter. Yeah. And remember, after Jesus even died, was crucified by those people, there was a remnant, and under the fifth seal, they still come up. So they're not utterly destroyed, because those under the fifth seal die without believing in Jesus as Savior. So that can only refer to one time, and that's this time. When the Lord Jesus Christ appears on the scene in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, face to face with a prophet like Moses and like Paul, three in history. It's one of the tongues. And at that time, they're destroyed. Now, notice at that time, if they're going to be destroyed utterly, those that don't hear, then there's those that do hear and won't be destroyed. Abel and Gerizim. Gerizim and Abel. You listen, you can never hear a curse in God's word and not know there's a blessing. And you can never hear a blessing and not know there's a curse. That's the law of the parallelism of Scripture given to me by the Lord. Yes, it's true. The parallelism of Scripture. You cannot get away from it. All right. The end time quickening power of the resurrection and rapture has to separate the wheat and the tares. Amen. That's in Malachi 4:1-6. And he says, categorically, I'm going to come and destroy. But he said, in my coming, I am rising upon these people as the great avenger. And upon you I am arising with healing for immortality. So God is here to bust the system wide open. To take out the true and destroy the false. And he says, I'm going to do it by Elijah. Because he said, if Elijah didn't come, I'd just destroy everything. But I'm coming and I won't destroy everything. I'll gather my wheat into the garner. Now listen, I'm an old Alberta boy. I got good Saskatchewan friends here. Brother Gunther's here, and Brother Clausen's here, and but Pete, he's a Clausen there, and I got enough people from Canada to know what I'm talking about. Now, years ago when we had the old, maybe Pete doesn't know about this, he's pretty young. But anyway, here's the point. When I was a kid, we used to have these old thrashing machines, and they didn't have this short stalk wheat. They had this long stalk wheat.
fight like a kid. I'd get about lost in it. And so at the end of the season, they would build a little granary. And there would be maybe about, what, 12 feet by 8 feet by about 8 feet? And you should see the stack of straw alongside that tiny cubicle. Little tiny granary, like that little room. I'm not saying this is what it is in the tent vision, but like that little teensy room in that huge tent that was blocks and blocks, a little teensy-weensy place. Could be striking something. How do I know? I just spit it out when I think of it. But when I was a kid, that little teensy-weensy granary, and there's just a huge amount of straw. That's exactly what you're seeing today, brother, sister. Because if you see in the literal rapture, of the literal rapture, I mean people made immortal standing here, not the dead coming out of the ground, but if we were to see 700 out of 1 billion Christians, and never mind the rest, we're doing good. Well, that's what's happening at the end time quickening power. The end time quickening power is Luke 17 and 26, the separation into the rapture itself. And in Matthew 24, it's the separation of the people themselves. What is doing this? The quickening power of God striking His Word. Now, with this in mind, harvest now. What is our mind upon? Harvest now.
Amen.
Harvest now.
Amen.
You see, you're still looking down the road. I've got news for you. You that believe the message have already been gathered.
Amen.
And you that are going to believe are going to be gathered. So the harvest is on.
Amen.
The harvest sun and the harvest rain.
Amen.
So with this in mind, harvest now. We come to the parable of Matthew 13, 24 to 30, 36 to 43, where, and I won't read it, you can read it yourself, where it tells the sower went forth to sow, and a man came behind sowing the tares. And they said, shall we rip them up? He said, no, let them grow together. And when they've gone through due process of the rain and the sun, they've gone through the due process up to maturation. I will separate them and I'll take everything out and burn it that offends me. And I've been offended a long time with cigarettes and drunkenness and brawling and all the filth and all the junk and all the mess. And I'd only be offended because of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, I'd be rolling like a hog with the rest of them. And so would you. And don't tell me that the sinners don't have pleasure. That old Pentecostal hogwash, I've hit it many a time. They say, I was taught when I was a kid, well, the sinner's not having any fun. Ha, ha, ha. He's not having any fun. You got to be, don't be sick in my God, distressed in your mind until you're an idiot. He loves it. He's the pig in the puddle. He's having a ball. Right, Roger? Sure, it's the truth. Anybody that says he didn't have fun in unrighteousness, he only means one thing. He was having a whale of a good time, and God pricked his consciousness, and he didn't lie there. You had a ball, baby, let's face it. I never saw a sheep that couldn't interest himself in everything that was sheepish but dirty. In other words, he could act just like a hog, except he didn't go all the way in the puddle. I could prove that by illustrations I've seen on farms and everything else. He's going to take out the offending things. Now, then, listen to me. Here's what I'm going to show you to help you. Genesis, the third chapter, 17 to 18. This is what we got in mind. 17 to 18, and Adam said unto Adam, because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sore shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, thorns also and thistles shall it sprout. Now you say the King James Version says bring forth. I don't care if it does. It says sprout. I got a reason for saying that. I'm going to say what the prophet said. The seeds were already there. So when the earth brought forth, what did it do? It sprouted them. Funny they couldn't sprout before that, though, could they? Sprouted. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread. Till thou return to the ground, out of it thou wast thou taken,
For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Thorns also and thistles shall it sprout. Shall it bring forth into full maturity? Yes, sir, that's what it's going to do. Let's see how it's done. Genesis 2:5-6. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. One was put in the earth, and one was already there to grow. Preach it, Brother Vail. People catch on if they listen to the prophet long enough. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of it. So we see the sun and the rain was predestinated to bring forth the seed that was already there. So, all right, we have a seed that is already here. And it's got to come forth to maturity. Let's read in Zechariah and see some more things about the rain. Zechariah 10. I love the scripture with Brother Branham Davis. It is just delicious. Just delicious. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Why do you want rain? To bring forth a harvest, right? All right, Hosea. That's a nice little book way back here. I think that follows Daniel. Never could get these little tiny books straight in my mind. Hosea, the 6th chapter, 1-3. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. All right, the curse is hit. The negative hit us. Now they say, bring on the positive. After 2 days he'll revive us, and the 3rd day he'll raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall ye know if ye follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. His appearing unto us in the process of the binding of the tares and the binding of the wheat. In the process of administering the curse and ministering the blessing, his presence is going to be called rain. Latter and former rain. And the former rain is the teaching rain, and the latter rain is the power rain. And Brother Branham had to go to the Hebrew for that. Wasn't it strange God didn't say prophet? I'm going to tell you something. That word is, that means teaching rain. God let the prophet go to the Hebrew. He must have been pretty human after all, eh? I just want to get your thinking uncooked. If you're one of those cooked up thinkers, brother, sister, let's get uncooked this morning. We don't have time for junk. We don't have for this hogwash. Man years ago said, I know Brother Branham was not the prophet of God. I said, how do you know? He said, because he told us to keep our eyes closed while he prayed. And cast those devils. That's where you get that from. Kid came to me. I don't know if he's wet behind the ears or he was still, you know, like a pollywog in the pool. I got through preaching down in Florida, Miami. He shook hands. He said, I don't believe in notes. I said, you don't? He said, no. I said, preacher, shouldn't you? He said, no. I said, here's my Bible, prove it. Well, he said, I sure don't believe in concordances. I said, here's another one, prove it. You're in trouble, you, his son, you don't believe what I'm saying, do you? He said, no. I said, I paid for this soapbox. Get your own soapbox. He said, Brother Vail, you should have talked and been nice. Why didn't you talk and be nice? I did exactly right. At least I think I did. Why would I want a man an apology like that? Rain. Joel, the 2nd chapter, 18-32. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land. Now watch this. The Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. No, that's wrong emphasis. The Lord shall be jealous for his people and then pity his land. He didn't say that. Now, I'd say it. You bet. I'd have good reason to say it, too. Because when I'm redeemed and you're redeemed, the whole world gets redeemed. But at this point, I believe this is the point where the Lord says, if I don't send Elijah, I've had it with everybody. Land, I'm sorry for you. Oh, boy, what they've done to you. See, I don't think God would talk as though the earth were animated. I think he does. Because he's jealous for his land. Of course, you could say, well, Brother Dale, that really means his people because we're God's husbandry. Yes, that's right. I admit that. And I'm not going to say that. I'll let you say it. I'll say it with you, too, Lindsay. I won't be that nasty. Lord, yea, the Lord will answer and send his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil. Well, now that's good because that's going to get out of the land. And you'll be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I'll remove far from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and his face toward the east, seeing his hind depart toward the utmost, seeing his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he had done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things, O land. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field. Huh? This is the day when the Lord's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. Remember the stories of early America where they said the passenger pigeons filled the skies? My mother tells when she first went to Alberta back in the turn of the 20th century. There's a little old lake there somewhere in southern Alberta. And she said the ducks and geese came in. They literally blackened the skies. And you literally sneak up and about hit them with a club. Foxes roamed the prairies. When I was a kid, the bluebirds were by the hundreds. The meadowlarks sang day and night. The robins came in. Where are they today? People look around and say, well, you know, we're the important things. Take a gander at this scripture here, brother, sister. Take a good look this morning. I want you to know something. I've been preaching the Zoe of God. Some of you folk didn't come out Saturday afternoon. You missed it. I knew I had to give it a double shot. And I'm not through yet. I'm preaching the Zoe of God from this scripture here, life, as it was in God, in man, in animals, and in plants. Well, what does it say? Now, that oil is not oil out of the ground. That's olive oil. Be not afraid, beasts of the field that pass through, and they do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. Oh, praise God, the very top branch is under William Branham. God put forth another branch. Put a branch forth in Luther, right, didn't work. Put a branch forth in West, didn't root. Put a branch forth in Pentecost, didn't work. But he put a branch forth in William Branham, it did work. If it didn't work, you wouldn't be here. You'd be back there with the Nazarenes, making love to a corpse. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Going to bring us back to a renewed world. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. You had a touch of the teaching rain one day. One day, church, you had a touch of it, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, former rain, latter rain, as he did in the first. Not first month, but he did the first. Back to the Ephesian church, brother, sister. Who needs a second sermon? I'll just keep going on. I like this, don't you? And the floor shall be full of wheat. God's floor. This is judgment. This is quickening power. This is what's happening. See? This is the result. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Don't you destroy the wine and the oil. Seventh seal, I will restore unto you the years, the locust, the deacon, canker worm, palmer worm, caterpillar, what is it? All the same bug in different stages. Four stages, my great army that I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that wonders with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am your God and none else. This is now in the presence. The time of the former and latter rain, he says, he's here, and yet people deny it and say, well, sure, so what? Can't tell the difference between the baptism and the baptizer? Huh? I won't have an example here. I could have said, now I want one of you men to stand up with your son. And I say, son, are you the father? Father, are you the son? What's going on here? Anybody that can't tell the son from the father, especially the kid's only 2 years old, has got to be an insane person. Well, if you can't tell the baptism from the baptizer, what's going on with you? All the preachers can. Some theologians can, but they can't place it. I can prove that. I'll take it in your Bible bookstore and go to chapter 1, the book of Ephesians, verse 17. And they say, hey, this ain't the baptism. They already got it in 13 and 14. But you talk to people in Pentecost. Would you come on? I won't ask you. But you got a job, because you're the ones that boasted in the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And now the one that's come in our midst and showed himself and had his picture taken and gave us word for word, and then can't say amen to that word and say they got a part of him. When Brother Branham said the token of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then people say, well, I got the token. You ain't got that token. You'd be God incarnate. William Branham was the one that had him in him. You and I, because we got a little bit of his life, say amen. That's the prophet Malachi for. That is Elijah done come. Those are the words of a man that man's words can never do. That man's got God, and God's got that man. That man stand to say, but 5,000 people, every spirit in this building under my control, and prove it. We're talking about something pretty big here. And you'll know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God and none else. To recognize God and God only. And my people shall never be ashamed. Yeah? You know this is the day when shame goes by the board? You're not. Why? Because you're not naked anymore. You're clothed with his word. You see, you shall know. Come to pass afterward. It'll come to pass not afterward, but it'll come to pass at the latter time. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters prophesy. Your old men dream dreams, and your young men see visions. But at that day, my prophet, who speaks face to face with me and sees me in a form, he won't have visions and dreams like these people have, though he's entitled to them once in a while, does have them. But he'll come and give you the word like Moses and Paul gave him, a face-to-face visitation, while the rest have their dreams and their visions and their prophecies and their gifts and all. But we stand with the word vindicated prophet.
Amen.
Praise you. Better praise God. Like your brother Bali had a dream. One sweet old guy in California. You got lots of time. I hope you do. I'm in no hurry. Old fella got sweet in California, nice old guy. He said, well, you know, Brother Bale, I love Brother Brandon, but you know, he said, I had some visions myself. And I could have said, oh, God, brother, let's you and I pool our resources and see what you had. Compare with what I had. Listen, I've waked up in the darkness of night and seen a vision just like I'm looking at you people in Technicolor and heard a voice say exactly what would come to pass, and it came to pass. I've had dreams in Technicolor that came to pass. Time after time I prophesied. And I've said things, it's come to pass, and you, some of you congregation know, and it'll continue to come to pass. I've got nothing. I could simply qualify with those out there in the world with their vision, your dreams. I listened to a man that spoke face to face with God. When I say exactly what he said, that constitutes me a prophet in my own right. Because Aaron was a prophet and he was God to Pharaoh, the same as Moses was prophet and God to Aaron. Trickle down economy, but the economy is of God. Nothing's going to stop it. He said, upon my servants, my men and my women, they're not going to have a bunch of dreams and visions and things to come and say, well, I got this and I got that. Hallelujah. Because when Brother Branham preached the anointed ones at the end time, he said, ain't nobody got nothing but me. No, but Brother Branham, I've got something. Then prove it by listening. And say amen to every word that takes the skin off this. And if he says something to you personally, have the guts to back it. Stand and say, I stand with the prophet. Well, if you want me to back down what the prophet told me personally, I ain't backing down anymore.
Praise God.
Haven't paid much of a price, but I guess I'll pay more for it. but I'm not backing down. He said, Steely, you and I are just alike. That's just one little thing. What do you mean, Brother Bannon? He said, I got a little gift of healing. Nobody wants it. You got a little gift of teaching and nobody wants it. I could explain that. I just leave it you. Do what you want with it. He said, well, I don't think the prophet meant it. He didn't mean anything else either because I didn't ask him to say a thing. We were just sitting there yarning, so to speak. I'm not going to back away from it. I don't like the vessel any more than you do. In fact, I don't like it half as much as you do because you're not around it. The only reason I got a fan club is my wife. And she's part of me, so that's ruined her. All right. He said, after this, he said, there'll be signs and wonders, the great tribulation comes on. All right, now listen. It has taken both the latter rain and the former rain to quicken the wheat and the tares. You follow? So, Brother Vale, what do you mean? I mean what Brother Branham said. We get the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The tares get the anointing. Now, the Spirit is the last thing that the baby gets. So it comes from its mother's womb, invades the body, and becomes a channel for the nature of the soul to be produced in the body. And so, therefore, it is not body, soul, and spirit. It is soul and body and spirit, with the Spirit sort of anointing on the outside somehow. And that's where the Spirit of God gets to anoint the human spirit. And the Spirit of God then is blocked and doesn't get down into the soul. And so therefore the tares are anointed, and they can be anointed even to the extent that they can get this message of Brother Branagh's technically correct, but they will never get the real revelation of down inside. And you can talk this and you can talk that, and you're like 100% you're one of them, but you ain't. Because Paul said, though I have all knowledge and know all mysteries, he said, I'm not one of them until I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham, he created love to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to do the same thing. All right, it takes both the latter and the former rain to quicken the wheat and the tares. So, we see how and why Brother Branham preached the anointed ones at the end time, from which I'm going to take my text when I do start preaching. And it is from this message I get my sermon this morning when I speak on the word of the hour coming to life, or fulfillment, or manifestation, or actually the quickening or responding to the harvest. So let's respond to the harvest in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And I'm going to sit down. Before I do, I'm going to call on the Brookses, a couple of my favorite gospels. They're not my favorite gospels, they're a couple of my favorite children. Brooksy used to get under my skin for a while, but when he came all the way with the message, he's got so part of me that if he tried to get away now, I'd, you know, hit him with a 4x4 and just hold him down. Now, he didn't know that till this morning, but he knows it now. So you get ready to be part of us, Brooksy. And, of course, lovely wife there, she's a good kid. How she stuck with him, I don't know. But feel so sorry for these women. Something like feeling sorry for the Lord. What kind of a bride did he get? Well, he loves and that covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says so, right? Okay, let me read you out of the 19th chapter here before they sing for us. 7-9, now this is for us. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and her was granted to be arrayed. Oh, my, beautiful. I like to see the women come out Easter morning honoring his resurrection with new dresses and even nice jewelry. Brother Brown said, they're fine, long as you don't look like you had a magnet on when you walked through a 10-cent store. And he said, you men ought to dress nice. If you dress nice for anybody, dress nice for the Lord. Somebody, did I say something about a red carnation? Somebody give me this? I don't remember saying about a red. Thanks anyway. I'll say it next week, too, if it's going to get rid of tarnation. And she was beautiful. And the Bible says she was pretty within and without. I like women like that. Man, make a man just go through the ceiling. And when Isaac saw Rebecca, man, those jewels, she was so pretty, alabaster skin, like, you know, the incense, the perfume. Didn't smell like a camel at all. Oh, he said, oh my, he said, I used to think a lot about women, but wow, I never knew there was one like this. Now, you don't think that's true. I got news for you. That is true. That's true. She was beautiful. And the linen of it, the fine linen, is the righteousness of the saints. And he said, right blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. This is a marriage supper in 19th chapter. Now let's look at 17 to 19. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he said, hey, there's a big supper going to go on. There's a supper here that's going to rival, or going to not rival, but it's going to be in contradistinction to the wedding supper. So he said to the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, that's the air up here, the middle heavens, come and gather yourselves under the great supper of the great God. And you can eat the carrion. You can eat what's left of this cosmos and this perverted Zoe.
Right, amen.
So you can have it. This is yours. Now, I hope you understand a little bit now about quickening power. You understand? You understand what's going on? All right? That's lovely. Where are the Brookses? Ah, come on. So you can sing, and then I'll get back and preach a little sermon. I'll just read my notes, and you can go home.